those who have ministered and our tech support.
And took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Good evening or good morning, depending on what time of day you happen to be listening. This is Pastor David.
And this is Pastor Barry.
And you are listening to Glorious Day, a program that God has pulled us together to put off on the air to get people ready for what's coming and to prepare the listeners, the church, for that glorious day when Jesus returns. We Amen. Don't know when. We're not going to be telling you when because we don't know, but we know he's coming soon, and he wants us to help everybody get ready, including us, right, Barry?
I mean,
helping
right
us to get ready.
We need to be ready.
Yeah. So the next 3 weeks, we're going to be on the subject of revival. Revival. Mm. And to tell you that we believe, and many believers have joined us in believing this, is that revival, this will be the biggest ever. Ever.
Ever.
Ever.
Amen.
And we're really excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to start. We're going to offer some scriptures and some commentary, and we trust it's all Spirit-led. And we pray God will open your minds and hearts to what he would have to say today. Barry, would you read our first scripture, please?
I would love to. Thank you, David. Today's scripture readings comes to us from Romans 3, verses 22 through 24. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ.
Hmm.
The word of the Lord.
Wow, that's the whole book of Romans is a powerful, but I mean, all scripture is certainly, but in that particular book, there's so many interwoven theological revelations that, that Paul shared with the early church, and we've kept it today.
If I'm on a deserted island and a weathered, watery Bible washes up and Romans is the only thing left that's legible, I think I'd want to hold on to that until I'm rescued. And
Amen.
That'll give me comfort and direction.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd still be looking for other pieces of the Bible, though. I'd be going down to the beach every day looking for 1 John and
sure.
maybe, Ezekiel one day. But, in this verse, you know, Paul is saying there's no distinction among people. Back in his day, if you weren't Jewish, you were Gentile, which meant any other religion.
Mm-hmm.
Or some people had no religion. But that was their distinction. But it really means there is no difference among people because everybody sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But on the other side of that, and this is where the power of the gospel is that when we recognize our sin, you know, and I have to say, Barry, and mm-hmm. we've talked about this, that because I know I'm a sinner, but before I met Jesus, I really didn't have any way of dealing with that.
Right.
You know, there's no way of processing to say, where do I go with this? Okay, I'm a sinner. If I have no way of expiating that sin, you know, getting rid of it, doing something with it, turning it around, that's where the word, I think, the best application of the word lost comes from.
Mm-hmm. Or drowning.
Drowning.
You're wallowing in self-recrimination.
I did a lot of wallowing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in fact, I could have taught a class in wallowing. And some others listening today probably could do the same. But this is the marvelous revelation of God in his word about his saving love. That's why Jesus came, so that those of us who are sinners, and we're all sinners, you know, we're going to talk in a little bit about if you don't think you're a sinner, how to look at that. Mm-hmm. But we're all sinners, and so we need a justification, which is only by the grace of God. There is no other way. that any of us can move past the barrier of our sin nature unless we have Jesus Christ in our hearts, not in our heads. But when we talk about revival, the first thing we have to talk about is repentance. Right,
Barry? That's right. You can't have one without the other.
No. In fact, the revival comes out of repentance. And we talked about before, and I'll remind you again, on the day September 26th of last year, we had the return. And now the return is not just a one-day event. It's a group of believers that had got together at the call of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, to begin a day of national repentance that would continue throughout. So it wasn't just for one day. It started something that continues in the spiritual realm, and we see the effects in the natural. And that's where we're getting to talk about seeing revival in the natural realm. Well, it began in the spiritual realm, and it begins in each of our hearts with repentance. So while we know we commit sins, we continue to commit sins because we don't stop being a sinner. Jesus doesn't, when he comes in our hearts, rip out all the sin roots. You know, he doesn't do that.
That's a wonderful way of putting that, David.
Well, you know, my wife loves to work in the earth, you know, and she was a master gardener years ago when we lived in North Florida. And she likes to plant things. But sometimes to plant proper things, you have to uproot the weeds and things like that.
You mean like the tares?
The tares, yes. Those nasty tares, you know. But of course, Jesus said at the day, you know, the day of the harvest, then, you know, we'd separate the tares from the wheat, you know, I mean, the good stuff that was meant to grow from the weeds that intermingled. And I felt what a great story, a parable to bring up, Barry, when talking about revival, because, you know, we have all kinds of things growing in the fertile ground of our soul.
Yes, we do.
And we have the great good things that God has done in us and the work that he continues to do, but we also have, because of our sin nature, we have those weeds. And God is loving to come in like my wife would do on a patch of ground she wanted to put a garden in. And the first thing she'd do is take out those nasty old weeds, you know, and then till the soil and fertilize it and make it ready for the revival of the plants, you know, that great metaphor for
that. It is a great metaphor, and if you think about it, when we go through our moment at the cross, you know, you mentioned that many times, David, to me, that you had your moment at the cross years ago when you met Jesus with your heart. And I can't help but think that the soil in our hearts is being tilled, and it's not always pleasant. It can be a very painful moment where we don't want to know just how naughty and evil we've been.
That's right. We love to deny.
But Jesus loves an honest sinner.
Yes.
And when we come to Christ and we're ready to repent, we're repenting of it all. And that's, like you mentioned with the soil, pulling as many weed roots as we can in our encounter with Christ.
Amen. And we talked about how many of us respond to the issue of our sin nature as we're afraid of it. We don't like it. We know what it leads to. But there's a strong sense of denial. It's part of the pull of the world, I think. It's the worldview that we deal with every day, especially if we haven't come to Christ. We're simply wondering what to do with our lives. We heard the gospel, but we're not sure about it. But the one truth is that John, in the first letter of John, chapter 1, verse 10, he cuts to the chase. And this is where, you know, if we're talking about revival and we've talked about sin, and if you're on the fence about sin, listen to what John writes. He says, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him, meaning God, out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, that's pretty clear. I mean, there's no gray areas, no wiggle room here.
It's beyond clear. It's brutal.
It's brutal. Yes, it is brutal.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Who wants to stand there with their hands on their hips and call God a liar?
Exactly. But, you know, that I have found that the greatest moments of growth that God did in my life came when what we call a brutal revelation was made known to me. And with it, you know, was that challenge to, okay, you can, if you choose, David, God would say to me, if you choose, you can continue to sin, continue to deny. I will not force you. Where would God's true love be, his perfect love, if he forced us to believe, you know, at any stage of the game, at any point in our journey?
Removal of free will?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That thing which, you know, we both celebrate and cry over is that free will.
The blessing and the curse.
The blessing and the curse, you know. And it's, of course, God doesn't curse us with free will, but we somehow, because we have it, we can wander off the path of righteousness and into the gloom of the curse.
Ah, the gloom.
You can do that. Mm-hmm. You can do that. But the truth is that if we say we've not sinned, we're simply in denial that we have that nature which God wants to transform over time. If we give him our lives, and when we do, he will do that. Do we stop sinning? What did I say earlier? No.
No.
We don't. But then we have an advocate in Jesus Christ. And, you know, what I found is, okay, I admit, God, I'm a sinner. And but the Jesus in my heart encourages me to then say, Lord, take my life. I submit to you. Because when I recognize that I'm a sinner, Barry, when you recognize that you were a sinner, when anybody finally recognizes this, and we're not saying this just to make you feel bad, but we're saying this to get your attention, that when we go to God, and this is the first thing, if you recognize for the first time, wait a minute, I'm a sinner, go to God and say, God, take this life and do with it as you intended from before the first day of creation. Because he thought of all of us before he made anything. So make my life, as our brother, I'll put it in the words that my prayer every at the end of every day, when I say, God, I submit my life again to you. Lord, make me the man you've always intended me to be.
Ah, you mean the authentic creation that he had in mind for you?
Yes, ah, yes. When he thought of me, when he thought of you, Barry, when listener, when he thought of you, he had, because he's a perfect, loving God, he thought of the best. And when we turn back to him, when we receive him, Christ, Jesus, in our hearts, we begin to get the best from God. And really, when we're talking about revival, this is the best, not just for the church, but the church will be in revival first before there's a harvest of souls. But it's also for those folk who are going to be harvested. You know, or perched themselves, or God, they're perched on the brink of wanting God but being afraid.
That's why when you say revival, David, revival on a large scale is awe-inspiring, but this still happens one soul at a time.
Oh, yes. Amen, Barry.
You know, I have these visions in my head because I have a very active imagination, you know. You might have noticed, David.
On occasion, yes, I have.
Billions of people in the blink of an eye in a revival, but it still comes down to a one-on-one encounter with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And as pastors, that's our responsibility, is to bring them to the cross one at a time so they'll have their encounter.
Amen.
Where they can repent and receive this blessing. If I may, I just want to share with you a quick little story. I work in healthcare. I'm a chaplain with the elderly in nursing homes, and I work with this one particular employee who is on fire for Christ 24/7, David, and she's not shy about it. She's my little Pentecostal buddy, and we had a gentleman who was a very bitter, angry man who had not come to the cross yet, who was loaded with all kinds of guilt, and he was just a difficult person to be around, and she grabbed him by the sleeve one day and said, Mr. So-and-so, Jesus Christ is waiting for you in room 263. And she dragged him in there and closed the door. That's all she did. He was in there for a good hour or so, and we checked on him because the man was 88 years old.
Well, yes.
And he was on the floor crying and said that he had his moment with Christ. And that man is a living example of revival, repentance and then revival. And it just touched the whole building's hearts. All of us were talking about it for weeks. Wow. And seeds were planted, David.
Yes.
Seeds were planted because someone took the time to bring someone who was hurting and in pain and full of self-recrimination and had the encounter. And David and I have talked about the intimacy with Christ. And that is where all this begins. Amen.
It does. Yeah, well, and that's that openness to the fullest relationship we can have with the Lord in this life is that it leads to that great intimacy with God. I may have mentioned before that my most recent practice has been I have a playlist of Christian music on my phone, several playlists actually, because the software that I'm using, every time I listen to a playlist, it says, "Oh, you like that stuff?" And so it starts adding. So I mean, before long, I'm going to have thousands of songs to listen to, but which is wonderful. But when I get up in the morning and then again when I go to bed at night, one of the things I do, aside from Bible reading and just in general getting in prayerful with God, but at the end of that time is I just put in the earbuds, sit back in my recliner, start the playlist, and then just know that music is going to carry me into the throne room. And I started this only maybe a month ago, really. A month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago. But because whenever you exercise something, whether it's physical or spiritual, it develops, it grows, you get stronger, is that in this morning, because I hope to see the face of Jesus, that's what I want, see the face of God. We're told we can see that, and that God is our Father, our Abba, our Daddy. Well, I want to be with Daddy. And it was this morning I found myself just over and over again as the music is playing and I'm coming into the presence of the Lord just saying, "I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you." You know? And this was my spirit kind of reaching out to hug Abba with those words, you know?
That's beautiful, Dan.
And folks, if you're listening and you're saying, "Well, I would like to have that," well, you can.
Yes, you can.
Because I am no more special than you in the eyes of God. But I took his calling, his direction to do that. And we must all to be repentant beings in the way that God intended for us to be. That intimacy has to be a conviction and a commitment on our part. And God will grow it if you'll just do it.
You've got to drop all the stuff, all the barriers, all the pride, all the guilt, everything else that comes along that Satan provides, because he wants that wedge. He doesn't want you to have that intimate relationship with God. And dump it at the foot of the cross and open your heart and open your hands and your arms and say, "Abba, I long for you now."
Amen. I think that was the feeling that King David had when he wrote this verse in Psalm 85, and it's verse 6 from Psalm 85. He said, "Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you?" I just kind of resonate. I'm really feeling the
makes the hair because
it well it does, you know, you get the Holy Ghost bumps, you know, because I'm thinking, wow, I know where he's coming from, because it's where I'm coming from, and I believe it's where any believer, true believer, is coming from, that we perceive this desire on two levels. First is the personal. You know, that's always going to be where we come from first, is the personal, because that's who we are. We're that individual, you know, we love God and God loves us. But we also then move out into the whole, you know, human community, the whole of those people alive today, some who know the Lord, many who don't. But we want everybody to have this desire in their hearts, this love of God in their hearts. So when we say, "Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you?" It's not a question of, does God decided to do that or not? It's an expression of faith that in fact we are saying, "Yes, Lord, you're going to do that. You're doing it right now."
I think the word that pops out of me in this entire quote from Psalm 85 and 6 is the word "again." Because we continue to sin, we trip and fall. Sometimes we fall flat on our face. But you know, you could take Psalm 85 and you could cap that over Psalm 51, where you're crying your heart out to receive God and begging him not to leave you.
Yes.
And then take a deep breath. And then when you ask him to revive you again, it's almost like ending your prayer with, please, please, yes, revive me again. And he will. And he does.
Right. This is
every
the thing.
Every time.
Well, again, I say, you know, earlier that we don't have to beg God to do what he wants to do anyway. God's mm-hmm. will is perfect. He's going to do it. You know, but when it comes to the relationship we have with him, and this verse from Psalm 85, you know, really kind of points to the heart of God's compassion and mercy. Mm. Yeah, because he's already positioned, he's already decided that he's going to revive his people again and again and again. Look at the Old Testament. Look at all the books of all the prophetic books.
Right.
All the works of Israel. I just finished reading 1st and 2nd Chronicles. I've been doing this over the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And the stories of the kings, you know, and all their escapades, you know. Some kings were great, they loved the Lord, some were horrible, and they did their own thing, you know.
Right.
And the stories, compact as they are, full of their how their sin nature was either expressed or was circumvented by grace, you know.
Right.
But to see, if you begin to see in the larger picture, how God again and again and again infinitely seeks to revive his people. And so why not, and especially today, mm-hmm. in this time, when we know that we are so close to the second coming of Jesus, and we know that the church has to be raised up, right?
Right.
It has to be empowered. We have to be focused. The body of Christ has to be in unity with God, and we have a whole another program on that.
Oh yeah.
Following next week, but this is critical for us to understand why repentance and revival are so important right now. This is frontline stuff.
Satan would want us to believe that we're living in this dark and dreary and unsaved world, and that he's having his time. And it paints a horrible picture of the future, of the present and the future. And he'll have you believing that this is it, this is the end. And it's so far from the truth, but we all know that he is far from the truth, that he is the ultimate liar. That's what he does. But
yeah.
We know that the Lord has a different plan. And like you were saying, David, we need to come to Christ and believe that we can be revived again. And it is happening. It's happening right now.
Amen.
Across
yes.
the globe, it's happening right now. So we need to deny that false truth coming from the evil one. And we just need to believe. And believe in our hearts that the Lord loves us so much, he does not want us to fail. Does not want us to fail.
And in Christ, we will not.
Amen.
You know, this is one last point I'd like to get out before we have to close, that, you know, if we put our human frailties and brokenness above the perfection of God, we will never fully appreciate what God is doing in us and in the church.
Right.
You know, you cannot, none of us can, anticipate the fullness of God's plan if we put the lens of our own brokenness in front of what we're looking at.
Right.
It is because God wins. God always wins. There's never a day when he loses, and there's never a day when it's a draw. You know, it's a tie.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to remember that.
He is indeed victorious.
He is, always.
Mm-hmm.
So, Barry.
Yes, sir.
It just comes to me as we come to the end of our time today. Mm-hmm. Not the end of our time. Hopefully
you know
not, but you never know.
Something I don't know, David?
No, I might, but it has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
Would you please close us in prayer, brother?
Yes, brother. Let us pray. Oh, Holy Father, we come to you in great thanksgiving today, and we thank you. We thank you for being there for us as a broken people, as a sinful people. You are our only hope. We find peace in the fact that the debt was paid on the cross that day in Calvary, and that if we're honest with you and we open up our hearts to you, that all those sins As David put it, all those weeds and tares will be yanked from our soul to create fertile ground to continue to love you and continue to praise you and continue to spread the word of this gospel of salvation. Through Christ I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. And I just, for those who are listening today that are wondering, what are they talking about? You know, that's my my paw voice.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, he comes out every now and then. But to say, what are we talking about? If you don't know Jesus, today is the day for you to get to know him. And all it takes is for you to open your heart. Say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. Mm-hmm. Please come into my life. Change me. Make me the man or the woman that you've always intended for me to be. And I submit to you right now and seek your grace and your blessing in Jesus' name. And if you'll do that, he will do his part. And we pray then that you, if you're not churched, because some people hearing this may be in a church and still be lost.
But that's true.
God will lead you to a God-honoring, Bible-believing congregation of the body of Christ in your area. We believe that. And having said that, it is time for us, for this program, to say goodbye to you, our wonderful listeners. If you have any thoughts on program topics, you may call the radio station, WCNO 89.9 FM, at 888-221-8990. That's the toll-free number, 888-221-8990. Until next time, goodbye, my brothers and sisters, and may God richly bless you.
Goodbye, and God bless. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified.
And receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move.
And his perfect plan is unfolding in our time. Thank you.